You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
The words of wisdom today are from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves?" Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy towards him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Okay, I'm back. How many of you were here last week? Yay! I didn't scare you off. I did something wrong. Well, we did have a theme last week, and it was the first part of what I'm calling a series for, you know, want of any other thing that I can call it, how to live God's way in an ungodlike world, or doing God's stuff is easier than you think. And we spent some time looking at Paul, the great early church leader who was an example of a doing it God's way kind of guy for us. The theme was, take the call, God wants you, and we know that Paul did just that. We heard that like Paul, any one of us could be called by God to do good things in our world in God's name in this time, even without special training or gifts. We just need to listen for God to speak to us, and then we need to say yes. I'd say that's a good first step in living God's way these days, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, today we're going to look at just how we actually follow through for God when we say yes. And our reading today, thank you so very much, starts with Jesus, and in this instance, Jesus is the teacher. I truly believe the world would be a better place if we knew how to talk to one another like Jesus did. All the examples of Jesus' interactions with people show us that he was a master of the tender phrase of forgiveness, of the chilly though polite note of criticism, and of the barely veiled put-down slash life lesson. Jesus knew how to get his point across, and he had a gift for bringing his audience around to thinking exactly what he wanted them to think. Jesus always answered a question with a question because he wanted people to do more than just regurgitate their doctrine. He wanted them to feel the word and live it. He was an excellent teacher. Well, I doubt that any of the words Jesus used were casually selected. to my mind, whenever Jesus spoke before a crowd of any size, he had a plan, because he knew he didn't have much time in his ministry to plant the seeds of faith that he was sent to lay down. He had to keep moving. Well, we have a story in our words of wisdom for today that's been told so many times. Hearing it again almost brings a "so what" from us. Am I right? How many millions of times have you heard this story? Yeah, we know. Help the stranger and all that stuff. We got it. We got it, Jesus. But looking more deeply into the cultural part of this vignette from Jesus' last days may give us some new insight and understanding about how we can apply this story's message now, and that's what I'd like to share with you today. The scene starts with a lawyer, an expert at the holy law of Moses, trying to trick Jesus into answering in such a way that it would get him into trouble with the Pharisees. This was a setup. "Jesus, how do I get eternal life?" And Jesus fields this question by asking him what he thinks the law says and means. So the lawyer accurately quotes a passage from both Deuteronomy and Leviticus, demonstrating his great knowledge of the law. "Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." And Jesus nods and ends the discussion with, "Then go and love your neighbor as yourself. Do as I say." Or, "Don't sit there talking with me. Get busy. You know what to do. Go do it." But the lawyer doesn't stop there, because he's feeling pretty feisty by now, and so he takes the discussion up another notch. And the poor guy, he still thinks that he can take a chance and make Jesus look bad. "Well then, Jesus, just who is my neighbor?" he asks. And Jesus, probably feeling a little impatient at this point, because Jesus was normal, folks, he was a guy, responds with a story, one that we all know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Clearly, this guy needs to be brought one step closer to the realm of God the hard way. So to help us explore the nuances of the Good Samaritan story, I'd like to ask you to imagine that you, yourself, are in the ditch. So zoom there in your mind. You are a helpless Jew, beat up, bloody, aching with pain, crying in shame, naked, semi-conscious, and unable to speak, lying in the ditch, waiting for someone to help you. You might have enough presence of mind to mull over the predicament you find yourself in. You realize that perhaps you should have been smarter about this trip. Traveling from the safety of your Jewish family and friends in Jerusalem, through the desert, to the shores of the Dead Sea and the crazy town of Jericho is risky, even for a group making that journey together. But you just had to go, so you quickly packed up and headed out on your own, only to be taken by surprise by a band of robbers who really work you over. So now you are lying in a ditch and things don't look so good. Now you wonder who in their right minds would stop to help a bloody, naked stranger. All your identifying elements are gone. Clothes, jewelry. You could be anybody from any culture in the time. Or you could be no one. And your life is slipping away with each minute that you wait. A sudden sound of hooves on the road draws your attention. Someone's coming. And in your hazy state of mind, you guess this probably is a person of some means, because someone with prestige and status would be traveling on an animal. Standing a safe distance away, a man dismounts and stops to peer at you. He's wearing a fancy headpiece and a white robe and a blue tabard with bells on the hem that has been placed over the robe. You recognize him as a priest from the temple in Jerusalem, but because you can't speak to identify yourself and you're so weak you can't move, he takes you for dead and quickly leaves, because if he touches you, you will make him unclean. And he will have to go through a purification process to be able to even enter the temple again. He doesn't have time for that. So he jumps on his animal and he leaves you alone. You sigh in disappointment. You probably give a lot of money to the temple too. The sun is hot as midday approaches and you're thirsty and beginning to feel the effects of not having water or shade. Every muscle in your body aches, and you can feel the blood getting sticky as it dries and crusts over. You drift off. Suddenly, you hear the sound of footsteps on the gravelly road. Another visitor. This time, a man stands alone in the road, keeps at a distance, and takes a good look at you. Opening one eye a crack, you see he is a Levite, a servant of the temple of the priest. He's probably traveling with the priest, though at a distance behind to be respectful, and he witnessed the priest's departure. Since he has to be as pure as the priest to serve in the temple, he decides he better keep moving as well. No need to take a risk, especially if this man in the ditch isn't a Jew, or worse yet, is a Samaritan. At a trot, the second man takes off and leaves you alone, and again, you are waiting. You whimper in pain as salt from your sweat runs into your wounds. How am I doing? Do you imagine this? As the sun moves higher in the sky, you feel your strength leave you, and by now you are parched, dehydrated, and in intense pain. You pass in and out of consciousness, and numbness is beginning to creep into your body. This is it, you think to yourself. It's all over now. And suddenly, you notice a faint smell of wine and olive oil. You think you must be hallucinating. Your scorched skin feels something cool and wet on it. Gentle hands are poking and prodding to see the damage done to your body. A quiet voice tells you not to worry. And then the wounds are covered with a soft cloth. In a daze of delirium, you have a sense of relief. If this is the end, God sure does know how to make it pleasant, you think. There's a new sensation of being lifted up. Maybe God has finally taken pity and is taking you home. You've been waiting long enough and you are more than ready. And then you feel the bump. Fur and muscles move beneath you, and you realize you are moving. Not toward the light and God, as you might expect when you near the end of life, but forward, on the road to Jericho, your original destination. You open an eye just a bit to see what is going on. Someone has finally had mercy and compassion on you, and it becomes astoundingly clear to you that the man walking beside the mule bearing your body is a Samaritan. A Samaritan. A mortal enemy of your faith, a traitor of your people, the last being in the world you would ever speak to on the street, much less accept anything, is hauling you to the nearest facility that has shade. A Samaritan has taken pity on you and taken control of your life. Too tired and too full of pain to care, you pass out in peace. Later, as you are placed on a bed in a room and someone has made sure that you will be cared for, you overhear conversation that ensures all the debt will be covered by the man who saved you. You realize that God has truly intervened in your life, and you know you will never again speak of Samaritans with hatred in your heart. This man, this half-breed of your faith, has taken a huge risk in his world by saving you, and he did it because he has compassion as a person who lives God's way. As you finally drift off to a grateful sleep, you pray to Yahweh a prayer of thanks for the gift of love this man has given, and you know you are forever changed. That's a great story. And most of us have heard it since we were how big? So we should be like the Good Samaritan. We're told, you know, be like the Good Samaritan. And that's still a good goal, because compassion and selflessness are certainly marks of living like Jesus, of living God's way. And this Samaritan didn't disappoint in spite of the stigma attached to him and his kind. You see, the Jews hated the Samaritans for reasons that ran centuries deep. Even though Samaritans, too, were God people, an offshoot of the Jewish faith. Maybe the problem stemmed from some kind of jealousy. Some say Samaritans were more devout to the Torah and more committed to following God's law than the Jews were. And today there are still a few who remain, who practice and are true to their own brand of belief. But during the time Jesus told this story, Samaritans were hated just as Muslims are hated today. Cultural misunderstandings ran deeply, just like today. That's why Jesus used a Samaritan for the hero of the story. It was part of the lesson, and you never know who could save you. In the words of wisdom for today, we're hearing that we should be like the Samaritan man who just saw need, who felt called to respond with compassion, and who got the job done. We know and accept this is what God wants us to do and be, especially in our time when the need all around us is so great. We agree. This is the role of good believers. And many of us really want to be good people of God. But guess what? The story isn't all about the Good Samaritan. What if you're the guy in the ditch? I think we struggle about being the guy in the ditch. I think we may think we have it all together, and suddenly we find ourselves living the moments when nothing goes right, and one of us ends up in the ditch. We've all experienced this, and I'm pretty sure we all have also experienced the rejection and fear this man felt while he was lying in the ditch waiting for someone to help him. At one time or another, we felt so low to the ground, so beaten by the things that happened to us, that we just didn't know how we were ever going to get back up again. We've all known a time when we felt bruised, forgotten, empty, or scared to be on the road alone. We've been disappointed by people we know and love because they may have listened to our story of pain and frustration, but like the priest and the servant of the temple, they didn't do very much to help. They just don't seem to know what to do with us while we're in the ditch. And maybe they're just a little afraid to get in too deep because there are risks taking on someone else's pain. They may even feel like the priest and the Levite, getting too close could make them unclean. So they leave us to it. They leave us in the ditch waiting for help, and we don't know how to get out. We're stuck. Well, the good news, literally, is that even if we feel like the guy in the ditch, we too have a Samaritan who comes to our rescue. We just have to crack one eye open to see who's always been there, always. And we know it is God who loves us and helps us no matter how smelly or rotten or naked we are or how many mistakes we've made. This God Samaritan suddenly appears out of nowhere and comes down the road to lift us up from that ditch and to care for our wounds, binding them with soft cloths of love and grace. In an act that is as unexpected and radical to many in the world right now as the Samaritan's kindness was to the Jews who heard about it in this parable. Through this holy Samaritan, we discover love that is bigger than anything. And we just never know who or what God will use as the vehicle of the grace-filled, selfless love. So we need to be open to receiving it from those who are the ones we least to expect to give it to us. And there's one more thought to consider when we look at how we can live this truth today. When we accept the incredible love, when we become healthier, not perfect, healthier after being pulled from the ditch and given such a gentle care, a transformation occurs. And I believe this is what God and Jesus really hopes that we will do. I think God hopes that we will morph into a person who looks and acts an awful lot like the Samaritan. Because today there are plenty of people lying in ditches along the road, waiting for somebody to come along who will help us and help them. And if you've listened to God's call and you've been pulled from the ditch, it's clear what comes next. Jesus said to the man of law with all the answers, "You know what to do. Now go and do it." And I'd say that pretty much sums it all up. And we can say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.